Brent. He and I bump into each other at the same gym. Probably about once a week we see each other. He's up there, as you can tell, 5 days a week. I make it there when I can. But look, a couple of when we go to the YMCA, I go with my whole family, my wife and my kids. And a couple of days ago, we were at the YMCA. And I'm not lying. It was absolutely packed. There were people everywhere. And I let you know, that doesn't bless my heart. When I go to the YMCA, when I go to the gym, I like just to have a little music playing. My wife and I, we share earbuds and we listen to the same thing. She'll be one end working out, I'll be the other end. But we're listening to the same thing. So I have one earbud. And it's not because we're broke, it's because we haven't figured out how to run two sets of earbuds off the same phone. So I have one earbud, she has the other, we're doing, and I just like the peace. But the other day, it was packed. There were people, every generation imaginable was there, and just every item was being used. Every machine station I had planned to use was being used. See, I go with a goal in mind. I'm going to do 10 minutes here, 30 minutes here, 30 minutes here. I've got a goal in mind, and I don't like it when that holds me up. That's just the kind of person I am. And I was not happy. And this whole thing, it was a great inconvenience for me. And I started to get a bit frustrated. I could sense the frustration in my own heart. And I started to think things like this. Well, I paid my monthly dues to be here, not realizing that so did everybody else who was there. I was just getting so inconvenienced, and I'm just going to be, as I share this word this morning with you, I'm going to be up front. I wrestle with not being inconvenienced, okay? I don't like it. I don't know how you are with that. Maybe you're a very gracious, godly person that is very patient with every challenging situation. I just don't like being inconvenienced, and it's something God's working with me. So when I have a list of things to do, actually, let me rephrase that. When Darlene gives me her list of things for me to do, I like to get those things done in the right order and in a timely fashion. So go to the post office and post some letters. And go to the bank and make a deposit. Take the garbage to the dump. You call it the dump here, is that right? The dump, yeah, okay. I'm always trying to think. We don't say garbage in England, we say rubbish. In England, we take the rubbish to the tip. But I knew that wouldn't make sense to you. I knew you'd be looking at me like, take the what to the where? So take the garbage to the dump. Go buy some office supplies at Home Depot. I'm sorry, I cannot say Home Depot. If it was spelled D-E-E-P-O-T, I would say Depot. But it's not. It's spelled D-E-P-O-T. It's Home Depot, okay? So you get theology in the Word of God, and you get a grammar lesson as well today. So go into pick some stuff up from Home Depot, go home, have some coffee, do my jobs at home. It's easy, right? Not usually. Usually there's something, or should I say someone, who holds up the schedule. A new cashier at Harris Teeter. Absolutely inconvenient. Someone at the bank depositing $749 in quarters and dimes. Totally inconvenient because they're in front. You're welcome to be behind me, but not in front of me. A long line at the post office and only one person working there. Absolutely inconvenient. The light turns green, the traffic light turns green, and the person in front of me is still on their phone. Absolutely inconvenient. How dare you? And the list goes on and on and on. And the summary is this. People are very inconvenient, right? But here's the dichotomy and the challenge. People are our calling. We are not called to the whales and the dolphins. We are not called to the golden eagles and the mountains and the trees. We are called to people. What is the most famous scripture in the Bible? I'll give you a clue. It starts with John 3:16. Right? What is that? Any well-versed Bible scholars who can tell me what that verse says? For God so the world. Okay. Let's break it down for a minute. When it says God so loved the world, it's not talking about the animals and the birds and the hills and the trees. When it says God so loved the world, what it really means is God so loved people that he sent his one and only son. And Jesus' ministry on earth was to... Okay, this is chance to kind of wake up. And I know it's kind of a gray... a drizzly Sunday morning. Jesus' number one ministry was to people. Our number one ministry is to, and yet the most inconvenient thing in the world is, you see the challenge we have right here. Okay, so what I'd like to do to share is that this week and next week is to help us overcome our frustration with people because they're absolutely inconvenient sometimes. And here's the thing, when I look in the mirror, I see one of the most inconvenient people in the world. And so do you, he says, looking up so he doesn't catch anybody's eye. You see, Jesus' focus, when he came to earth, his focus was not on me, I, us, this little group of 13. And the challenge we have is so often in the church, we become like a naval academy. We navel gaze at our own navel. We're like, are you okay? I'm okay. Are you okay? Great. You're okay? Am I okay? I'm okay. Well, we're all okay, so everything's okay. In actual fact, Jesus' ministry wasn't to himself or to his disciples, although he was there to train them. His ministry, given by the Father, was to other people. And our society has made other people an inconvenience, and dare I say it, the body of Christ has bought into that, and often we see people as an inconvenience. And people have become the greatest inconvenience. Just think how you feel when you're driving down whatever road, I-77, 521, and someone is driving really slow in the fast lane. Just think for a minute, don't tell me, but think what sort of things you're saying. It's called the fast lane for a reason, buddy. Move over before I move through you. How close can I get to your bumper to let you know you're in the fast lane, but you're not going fast enough? How do you react when you're in a hurry and suddenly you see someone who wants to chat with you? Oh, hey, man. Hey, come on. I got a story to tell you. I don't want a story right now. I've got a job. I've got places to go, people to see, things to do. What about if you're in the middle of a big yard project and suddenly over the fence pops your neighbor's head? Howdy, neighbor. That's about as southern as my accent gets. I can actually say, howdy, I'm fixing to go to the mall. It doesn't sound quite right. People tell me I sound like a drunk pirate when I try and be southern. So I'll stick with this, you stick with that. How about that? How about family gatherings you go to? Remember this, every family tree has a few nuts on it. Our 2023 pace of life, mixed with our 21st century sense of self-importance and our insistence on having things our way, has really diminished the importance and the excitement of us getting involved in the lives and the needs of other people. Many people go through days or even weeks without helping somebody in need, without including somebody new in their circle, without noticing somebody who others have missed, without being kind to a stranger. And I'm just going to lay it on the line. It happens in the church. So I want us to remember as we get into this, we're going to read a scripture in a moment, as we get into it, that we're called out to be different. And one of those differences is that other people are not an inconvenience. They're actually God's plan for your life. That's that new cashier that is slow at Harris Teeter. He or she may be part of God's assignment for you that day. How are you doing, dear? Is this your first day? You are doing great. I want you to know this. God wants you to know you are doing an amazing job. You can transform someone's day like that. Or you can be, will you please hurry up? Why do they have new people when I'm always here first? You see the difference? We can have the heart of Christ for other people, or we can embrace the heart of the world that says other people are an inconvenience. I believe it's time for us to be willing to be inconvenienced, knowing that in return we're adding value to the life of somebody else. And this is going to hit hard today, because I guarantee when you go out for lunch today, you're going to go to your restaurant, and guess what you're going to get? Guess who God's going to give you? The new server, who doesn't know the menu, who doesn't know the prices, who doesn't know the specials, and who's never met the cook. And you could be very frustrated, or you could think, that English guy said something about this. Now, what was that? One commentator put it this way. God so loved the world that he inconvenienced himself to reach me. God so loved the world that he inconvenienced himself to reach me. You see, Jesus lived to help people in need. He lived for people. He embraced the greatest inconvenience in life, which is people. As he did this, people transferred from being an inconvenience to being a passion. And that's what I encourage us to be open to today and tomorrow. That the inconvenience we see in people, we translate them from that to people of passion. Amen? All right, let's get into the Bible, because I know we like reading the Bible here. We're going to read Matthew chapter 15. And what I'm going to ask is that we stand as we read the Bible. Because this is the holy word of God. Like, you don't have to stand when I'm speaking, because it's just Matt talking, right? Just like any of others. But when we read the Bible, there's something very special. This is the scripture says that all scripture is breathed by God. So we're about to read the very breath of God. So let's stand up together, and I'm going to read to us. Matthew chapter 15. If you have your Bible in your hand or your phone, just hold it up. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We hold the living and active word of God right here in our hands. And I pray as we read it, it would shoot down our arms into our hearts. It would bring a change in our lives this morning. As we read your word, we want to leave this place transformed by the word of God. I pray that nobody would leave this morning unchanged, but we'd all be transformed by the word of God. We thank you for it. We thank you for its life and its depth and its breadth and its impact in our life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 15, starting at verse 22. And a Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out, saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David, my daughter is demon-possessed." And Jesus didn't answer her a word. His disciples came and implored him, saying, "Jesus, send her away because she keeps shouting at us." In other words, they were saying, "This is very inconvenient to our ministry, Jesus." But he answered and said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and began to bow before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered her and said, "It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done to you as you wish." And her daughter was healed at once. Departing from there, Jesus went along by the Sea of Galilee. And having gone up on the mountain, he was just sitting there. And a large crowd came to him, bringing with them those who were lame and crippled and blind and mute and many others, and laid them down at his feet. Again, very inconvenient. Like, who wants the lame and the crippled and the blind and the mute laying at your feet? Just very inconvenient for a pastor. Oh, hang on. No, it's not. He healed them. So the crowd marveled as they saw the mute speaking, the crippled restored, and the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. And Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I feel compassion for the people because they've remained with me now 3 days. They have nothing to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry. They might faint on their way." Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to share with us, just for a few moments, 4 lessons from this scripture. Now, we could unpack it and do 44 lessons from this scripture, but I want to pull out 4 things from these verses that I believe are going to help us translate ourselves from seeing people as inconvenient to having a passion for the most inconvenient people in our lives. So here we go. If you make notes, you can write these down. You can type them in your little machine in your hand there, whatever you want to do, or you can memorize them, whichever you like. Number one, Jesus ignored the comfortable to embrace the inconvenient. I'll say it again. I'm going to repeat a few things if I feel they're worthy of being repeated. Jesus, he ignored that which was comfortable to embrace the inconvenient. We live in a world where everyone wants to be comfortable, right? Even here in church, our seats are 6-inch pads. Imagine if you turned up next week and the leaders in the church took all these seats out and all we had were a bunch of these. I wonder how many of us would grumble. "Where's my 6-inch fluffy seat? I like sitting here. It kind of, it cushions my derriere so nicely. But this thing here, oh my goodness, this is so uncomfortable. How could I possibly sit here? I want to be comfortable." Or how about this? It's a bit warm in here today. What, did the church not pay the bill and put the AC on? I wish it was a bit cooler in here. Because we want to be comfortable. Or what about this one? If that person who's tone deaf sits behind me one more Sunday, I ain't going back to that place. They can't sing a note. Even the note they sing's out of tune. See, we want to be comfortable, don't we? But Jesus ignored comfortability and embraced the inconvenience. It says right here in verse 23, his disciples came and implored him, saying, send her away because she keeps shouting at us. You know, that is rather awkward, isn't it? Yeah, imagine if John was up here preaching. And suddenly, and I pick on Brent because I know him and he sits on the front row so far. And suddenly Brent just suddenly started shouting. So John's up here preaching his heart out as a man of God. And Brent's down here saying, how much longer, John? I got a family gathering to go to. You know, 5 more minutes, buddy. It would be rather awkward, wouldn't it? Well, that's what happens. This lady starts shouting out. And it gets very uncomfortable for the disciples. You see, the comfortable thing to do would be for Jesus to listen to the voices in his head and send her away because she's an embarrassment. She's a taker. She's a waster of time. She's an inconvenient. And my voice is very important. I must be heard. And notice that the voice of comfort came from those who were closest to him, his 12 disciples, because surely they'd know what's best to do. No, they were just thinking about what would hinder and inconvenience what they were doing. And Jesus right here chooses to ignore what was the most comfortable, and instead he embraces the inconvenience of a shouting individual. Because he knew that this apparent inconvenience was in fact Abba Father's best plan for him at that very moment. Let that sink in. Sometimes the most uncomfortable, inconvenient situations are God's absolute best for you at that moment. So how do we apply that to ourselves? Well, we have a daily choice to either walk away from or embrace inconveniences as they come to us. And the lure of comfort can often cost us the delight of being the one that God has sent to encourage another. Because I tell you, it's very uncomfortable sometimes encouraging inconvenient people. Very uncomfortable. But today, let's set our hearts that we're going to be like Jesus. We're going to embrace the inconvenience, and we're going to choose that over the preference of being comfortable. And so I want to say this today, I choose inconvenience over comfort, and I hope you'll join me. Okay, lesson number two, I'm going to invite my son to come up here. This is Malachi, and this is his first time speaking like this in a church, but we felt together that we wanted to do this together. I said, son, it's kind of like a wrestling tag team. You know the wrestling stuff when there's one guy comes in, he gets a bit tired, and he tags his buddy over the line, and his buddy comes in and takes over for a few moments. So I'm going to ask Malachi to come and share our second lesson today.
How you guys doing? So the second point is Jesus shares his best with the woman. Matthew 15, verse 28. Then Jesus said to her, O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed at once. So as Jesus embraces an inconvenient situation, he's not just being nice because he has to be nice. He is not thinking, I would rather be relaxed right now, but I guess I should help because that is what I expected. The truth is that this lady was not an inconvenience to Jesus at all. Instead, Jesus has realized that although this was not his plan for today, the woman is the Father's plan for today. This means that to ignore her is not an option. This means that to do nothing for her is not an option. This means that to smile and hope she leaves is not an option. This is a moment where Jesus must share his best. And as he does this, something amazing happens in this situation of inconvenience. Her daughter was healed at once. For us right now, God is waiting to bust out some of his best moves. He is ready to move with healing and deliverance and salvation. All he is waiting for are a few of us to see other people as Jesus sees other people. When we see the lonely person in a coffee shop, God sees someone for me to talk to. When we watch the hurting person in a supermarket, God sees someone for me to help. When we see the bullied person at school, God sees someone for me to be a friend to. When we meet the sad person at work, God sees a person who I can support. When we see the rejected person at the mall, God sees someone I can pray with. When we experience the rude server at the restaurant, God sees someone I can share Jesus' love with. It is time for change. We must start to see others as God sees them, and to then share his best with others as we watch God do amazing things in the lives of the lonely and the hurting and the bullied and the sad and the rejected and even the rude. Other people are not an inconvenience, but they are our very calling.
Other people are not an inconvenience, but they are our very calling. Thank you, Malachi. I appreciate you sharing that. It's not easy, you know, coming up in front of you lot. I'm not going to say you're a hard group. It's just very inconvenient, yeah. So Jesus ignores the comfortable to embrace the inconvenient. And then secondly, the second lesson, he shares his best with this woman. And then in verse 29, Jesus goes off and does what we love to do, hopefully. He goes off to be by himself. He's actually having a quiet time. It says there, departing from there, Jesus went along by the Sea of Galilee, and having gone up to the mountain, he was sitting there alone. So Jesus goes off, he's ministered, he's seen someone raised from the dead, he's been helping all these different people. And he says, okay, I'm just going to go and have some time with the Lord. I need to recharge, and this very right and proper, correct? Well, we tell people to do this. Make sure you have your quiet time every day. Go to your prayer closet. Go to wherever it is and get alone with the Lord. And that's what Jesus is doing. Just him and Abba Father. But look what happens in verse 30. While he's having his quiet time, it says in verse 30, large crowds came to him. Can you imagine that? Imagine you're in your prayer closet at home. Maybe it is your actual closet and you've made that into a prayer place. And you're in there just before the Lord saying, Lord, I thank you for this day. Just thank you for the peace of the day. Thank you for what you've... Mom! I gotta go poo! Mom, I'm hungry! Thank you, Lord, for the peace of the day. I thank you that you're with me today. Hey, babe, do you know where my lucky socks are? You get the picture, right? So Jesus is having his quiet time with the Lord, and suddenly a large crowd comes to him. It's not just a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old who's got a poo and he's hungry. It's not just an incompetent husband who can't find his lucky socks because he's got an interview that day. It's a large crowd of people. And it says they were bringing with them those who were lame and crippled and blind and mute and many others. And they laid them down at his feet. And instead of saying, actually, I'm having my quiet time right now. This is my me time. I have to live my best life, you know. All right, don't get me started on that. Okay, I will get started on that. You don't have a right to live your best life. Your best life is this. If anyone wishes to follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. That's your best life. I just got a bit of a bug on this one. Christians walking around saying, I'm just going to live my best life now. Oh, good. You want some persecution? That's your best life right there. Well, no, I was thinking more butterflies and doves and peaceful chocolate cake. Sorry. Let's get back on track. We call that a rabbit trail, right? So this is what happens right here. This is lesson number 3. Jesus reschedules his plans to accommodate other people. Surely God doesn't expect me to be inconvenienced during my quiet time. I know. Any interruption of my quiet time, that must be of the devil. That's the devil trying to lure me away from intimacy with the Lord. Well, that's what we've been taught, right? Anything that distracts from you meeting with the Lord must be from the enemy. Well, sometimes, sure. But not always. All I can say here is that Jesus, in the middle of his quiet time, in the middle of his one-on-one time with Abba Father, he embraces the lame and he embraces the crippled and the blind and the mute and many others. And I understand we can minister to those people with physical needs, lame people, crippled people, blind people, mute people. But I want to look at this for a moment in a different dimension. There's another level for us to see here. The lame were not an inconvenience to people. And you know, there are many that we meet who are struggling in their walk in life. Just their general day-to-day walk in life is a struggle for many people. They're like the lame people. And they're people we're called to. Now, at first glance, they could be inconvenience because they may be struggling financially in their walk in life. Or they may be struggling in their marriage or with their kids or with an addiction or something else. There's some lameness in their life and it's very inconvenient sometimes. But we're called to reach out and touch the lame people. The crippled people were not an inconvenience to Jesus. These crippled people speak to us of people who have been so crushed by the burdens of life, so crushed by the pain of life that they can't function without love, without care, and without support. And guess who God has placed to bring that love, care, and support? Not me, because I don't know the people you know. He's called you to be that very person to minister to those crippled people. Then there's the blind people. They were not an inconvenience to Jesus. The blind speaks of those who've never seen or understood the revelation of who Jesus is. We have a whole world of people like that. The gym, which inconveniences me constantly, is full of blind people, right, Brent? There's many blind people there, people who haven't seen the goodness of God, who haven't understood the power of Jesus, that haven't had the revelation that Jesus loves them so much that he sacrificed his life for them. And then there's the mute. The mute weren't an inconvenience for Jesus. It speaks of those in our society who have totally lost their voice. Those who have been marginalized. Those who have been silenced. You can't speak. You've got nothing to say because you're this. You're not qualified. You don't have the right background. You don't have the right education. You can't speak in this environment. Those who have been abused. Those who have been hidden away. That's who the mute speak of. And then the scripture says, and there were many others. Maybe you're not sure what your calling is. Through the years and the decades of serving the Lord, I've had so many people come to me and say, Matt, I just don't know what my calling is. I don't know what I'm called to do. The answer's easy. The lame, the crippled, the mute, and the blind. That's our calling right there. Oh, but that's a bit inconvenient. I was thinking more like preaching or that kind of... If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us, right? The lame, the crippled, the blind, and the mute. We must never allow our schedule to have an ascendancy over Abba Father's plan. Jesus' schedule right here was quiet time. Abba Father's plan was the lame, the crippled, the mute, and the blind. You see, my schedule, when mixed with my love for comfort, will always result in a focus away from other people. I want to encourage you, don't allow your schedule to pull you away from the call of God on your life. And I'm not undermining how important your schedule is and your life and all the things you have to do. I get that. But let's not allow the importance of our schedule to pull us away from the call of God. Amen? Okay, let's wrap this up. The rain is coming, the thunder's on its way, and some bellies are rumbling. I can hear them. I thought it was thunder, but I know what it really is. Lesson number 4. In overcoming this thing in us that sees people as an inconvenience, lesson 4 is this: Jesus was absolutely passionate about other people. He didn't just tolerate people. He didn't just, I guess you can bring them. I've been sent. God so loved the world that he sent me. So bring them over. He wasn't like that. He was passionate for people. It says in verse 32, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I feel compassion for these people because they've remained with me now for 3 days. They've had nothing to eat. You've been 4 hours with nothing to eat and you're ready to go, right? They'd been with him for 3 days and they'd used up all their resources. He says, I don't want to send them away hungry. They might faint on their way. What a passion for people Jesus has. He's seen dead people raised. He's been inconvenienced by yelling people. He's gone for his quiet time and had that busted into. All these things have happened. And then he says this, I don't want them to faint when they leave. Let's give them sustenance. This is really quite amazing. This would have been a great time to say, oh, okay, folks, my work here is done. Jesus is leaving the mountain. It would have been the perfect opportunity to go to a friend's house, turn a little water into wine, and relax a little bit, you know? He could have done that. Oh, some of you got a little mad right there. I'll let John take care of that one. But not Jesus. After all of the inconvenience that he's already embraced, his compassion for other people said, let's love them some more. Let's give even more. But Jesus, you've already healed the cripple. Let's do some more. You've already healed the lame. Let's give them some more. You've already healed the blind and the mute, and people have been raised from the dead. Yeah, but let's give them some more. He just can't stop. He wants to love people more and more. You see, now, it's important that we don't get burned out with ministry. I do meet a lot of people who serve God, pastors, Bible teachers, other people, and they're just burned out with it. And we've got to be very cautious of that and careful of that. However, it's also important not to allow excuses to trump the call of God. We mustn't let excuses take precedence over the call of God. And the call of God is to inconvenient people. If other people are an inconvenience to us, we'll never go the extra mile. We've got to see other people as the calling of God. When other people become a passion from God, we'll never see them as inconvenient again. I hope and pray that you will never see a supermarket cashier as inconvenient because they're slow ever again. I pray that you will never see a server as inconvenient because they couldn't quite remember your order and they had to come back, or they bought you the wrong dish, or you ordered your steak medium well and they did it medium. What a terrible crime, says the Lord. Here's the thing, when other people become a passion from God, you will be satisfied in ministry. You'll never be satisfied when you see people as inconvenient, but as soon as we see people with the passion that Jesus sees them, there's a whole new level of pleasure that comes in being a servant and a son of the Lord. So let God stir some passion in your heart this morning. Amen. Jesus was willing to be inconvenienced. He paused for others, even when there was a lot to get done. He stopped for others, even when his disciples wanted him to go, go, go. He allowed the interruption from others to his schedule, even when disciples tried to move his ministry along. He fed others when he could have sent them away. He comforted others. He welcomed others. He healed others. He restored others. He lifted burdens off of others. I would love this to be said of the body of Christ in this area, that we live for God and other people. Not that we live for ourselves and our own blessings, and that we fell out again on a Sunday, so we're doing all right, thanks. But that we live for other people. That we add value to the lives of our community around us. That we help others who find themselves in a place of need. And that we remember that others are not a pain and they're not inconvenient, but they're God's very plan for your life. What an amazing regional revolution we would see if we could see people as God sees them. Would you stand with me and let's pray together? Today, if you know Jesus and if you love Jesus, whether you've known him and loved him for a few days or whether you've known and loved him for most of your life, today's the day to choose to embrace the greatest inconvenience there is and surrender your life to serve other people. There's a psalm in Psalm 113. I started with it this morning. And the reason I was reading it earlier today was because I was looking at this verse. It says in verse 7, the Lord picks up the poor from out of the dirt. He rescues the wretched who've been thrown out with the trash. And he seats them among honored guests, a place of honor among the brightest and the best. You see, there's no one who's an inconvenience for our Lord. And so let there be no one who's an inconvenience for us. Amen. Let's lift our hands and I'll just pray a blessing over us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us. I thank you that I was not too inconvenient for you, but you sent your son to die for me. And I thank you, God, that none of us here were too inconvenient for you, that you pushed us aside, but instead you sacrificed all for us. And Lord Jesus, now we just take a moment to repent. We say, would you forgive us for seeing other people as inconvenient? Would you forgive us, Lord, for seeing those that you bring into our lives as inconvenient? And right now, Lord, as we've gone through these four lessons, we say we surrender our comfort, our desire for comfort. We just surrender that now. Help us to ignore that which is comfortable and help us to embrace the people that you send our way to minister to. And Lord, even as Malachi shared, we say today we choose to give 100%, not just 100% to you, but we choose to give our lives to serve other people, to serve those around us. Lord, teach us to share our very best with those that cross our paths. Even today, even on this Sunday afternoon, whoever comes across our path, I pray we would give them the very best as you've given us your best. And Lord, we say now, this is a tough one for some. We sacrifice our schedule. We just say, "We forgive us, Lord, for putting a schedule above people." We just sacrifice our schedule now. We say, Lord, would you have your way in our lives? Today, this week, this month, the rest of this year, we want to be able to reschedule our plans so that we can fit others in and embrace others that you send to us. The crippled and the lame, the mute and the blind. We want to better fit those and many others into the life that you've called us to. And Lord, would you stir up a passion? Holy Spirit, even now, even as we stand here with our hands raised, would you stir up a passion in us for other people? Forgive us for focusing so much on me, myself, and I. Lord, let there be a passion that comes in us for other people. And Lord, would you transfer and translate our greatest inconvenience into a mighty call of God. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Okay, last thing I want to say is, would you please go and be a doer of the word? Don't see anybody as inconvenient, whoever you meet today. Amen. And take one more minute today to pray for John and Christine as they refresh this weekend. Okay, God bless you. Love you. Bless you. Have a great Sunday. Cheers.